The information provided in this show is intended for your general knowledge only and is not intended to be, nor is it, medical advice or a substitute for medical advice. If you have or suspect you have a specific medical condition or disease, please consult your healthcare provider. What's up, health heroes? Tim James here, founder of ChemicalFreeBody.com and your host for the show that simplifies and demystifies how to live an energetic life with a flat belly. So if you're into a healthy gut and staying young, then this is the show for you.
What's up, health heroes? Tim James here with another exciting episode of Tim James Unleashed. This is the second time I've had Jim Gale on the show, and most of you know I don't have too many people on more than once. I try to bring you new, fresh stuff all the time, but the reality is that many of these people, every time we speak, anytime I come on or anytime a guest comes on, it's all fresh. So if I bring somebody else on, we could have them come on and talk about the same thing, but it would be different. It would be different. And sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need to hear the same thing once or twice or three or four times before it clicks or we're right and we're ready for the message. Or a remembrance will happen where you're like, oh yeah, I was doing that and you reminded me, Jim or Tim or whoever was on the show. So listen up. Sit back and enjoy, and we'll talk to my good friend Jim Gale. Jim, what's up, brother? How you been?
It's great to be here, Tim. I'm really excited to chat with you again. You know, every time I read Think and Grow Rich or any of the great books, it's mind-boggling how I am different, and therefore I see and feel and hear and experience different things when I read these books. So, yeah, and we do have a lot of new stuff to talk about compared to a couple of years ago when we chatted.
Yeah, so originally when you came on, you had just kind of launched Food Forest Abundance, and the whole premise was that you kind of did the math, and correct me if I'm wrong, but if around 30% of all the lawns were turned in America, where people just took 30% of the lawns in America and turned them into food growing operations at their home, that we could feed the entire population. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. In fact, if we just took 10% of the 890 million acres of mostly destroyed and being destroyed farmland in the United States, we could feed the whole United States population using permaculture, and we could do so while we're building soil and life into the systems.
Awesome. So pre-World War II, you know, most of the farming, well, not most, but a large percentage of it, I think around 45% of farming was just done in little backyards and little small farms and stuff like that. It wasn't big ag or nothing like that. It was like local people supplying food to local people. So you'd go get your stuff, you get it fresh. And there really wasn't, this is pre-60s, 1960s, so there wasn't, you know, chemicals and glyphosate and chemical fertilizers and chemical blah, 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 all these poisons that were dumped onto the soil. And I don't think, you know, give the American public a break here, because I don't think anybody ever really understood what the damage, the destruction, basically the raping of the soil that was happening right under their feet. And they didn't even know what was going on, because you're just like, I'm a good person. I get up, I work hard, I go to church, I do my thing, I pay my taxes, I take care of my family, I'm a good person. And I've got a dandelion next to my sidewalk. Well, to your right of you and your left neighbor and across the street, they're all, what are they doing? Well, they're spraying Roundup on their dandelions, because dandelions are weeds and they're bad. And then you go out and you do it too. And you don't think nothing of it. You don't realize that you just gave yourself and possibly your cat and dog and your family cancer as you tracked it into the house and yourself. And you just killed one of a very amazing plant that could feed and nourish and heal your body from all the issues you just caused by spraying it. Right? It's, you know, unbelievable. So tell us what's kind of happened since, you know, the original, what got you into it, and then what's happened since we talked last.
Well, I want to first just expand on the dandelion situation and talk about the wisdom of nature, the wisdom of our natural system, our God-given divine system. It's infinite in its ability to create abundance for us and for all the creatures of Earth. A dandelion is a healing mechanism. It's a healing technology that AI cannot produce. There are, in certain lawns, there will be millions of dandelion seeds. And based on the information that they receive from their environment, they will either germinate or not germinate. So when we see a dandelion bloom where a lawn is full of dandelions, it's because the soil is deficient in certain elements, certain minerals and nutrients. So if you just let the dandelions do their thing, they will literally not only heal the soil, but they'll heal our bodies. If anybody wants to research that, look up the healing effects of dandelions. It's, well, let thy food be thy medicine. Let thy medicine be thy food. Let thy dandelions be thy medicine. So we...
Well, that's funny you brought that up because, like, I had a friend of mine. He moved into a new home, and he had a bunch of us over for dinner. Now, they didn't really have a whole lot of food there that I would consider food, okay? Yeah. And I had brought some of my stuff. I brought a bunch of sprouts and stuff. Their whole backyard, I walked out on the deck, the whole backyard was completely in dandelions. Now, most people would say, oh, my God, look at all those weeds out there. Like, but it was still beautiful. I mean, it was full bloom. It was unbelievable, like all yellow. So it actually looked pretty cool. But a lot of people, they were commenting actually like, oh, look at, oh, my God, you have all those dandelions. Nobody said, oh, my God. Look at all those dandelions doing their job. Your soil out there must have been destroyed by the previous owners. Thank God for the dandelions.
It's because of lack of awareness and trust. Humans are trusting creatures, and we've been programmed to trust the governmente, the mind control structure that has us all under a veil of deception and illusion. Until we wake up to what is actually happening, it's hard to make those new choices because we're not aware that the choices exist, right? So yes, we've been conned, we've been deceived, but the good news is we are in the Great Awakening. This is the ascension of human consciousness. This is the apocalypse, which means lifting the veil. The great unmasking is happening at scale right now. One of the most encouraging things that I've heard in the last couple of years came from David Icke. When David Icke was asked by somebody, somebody said, David, I can't believe people aren't waking up faster. This is so horrible. And he said, are you kidding me? He said, I've been doing this for over 30 years. And 30 years ago, I couldn't get 6 people in a room. And now I can fill Wembley Stadium.
Yeah. No, it's happening. I'm even over here in Eastern Oregon, very remote. Probably 4.5-5 hours from Portland, Oregon, which is our biggest city in Oregon, and up in the mountains. And, you know, a lot of people move here, but then they have a hard winter and they leave. So it's pretty remote. And I'm talking to people. Dude, last summer I went to the fireworks display over in Union, and they have it over the golf course. And it's kind of nice because all the families park and they walk and picnic, you know, and they bring their blankets and their chairs and people get set up and they're all over this golf course in the grass. So it's grass everywhere. And I'm talking to this old boy. It was a builder. And he just starts talking about, I'm almost all off all my medications. We start having a spiritual talk. His wife's coming on next. And I'm just like, this is happening everywhere. Like I can't even believe the stuff that's coming out of this guy's mouth, because I felt for a while that like I'm this weird crazy person, but now it's not. It's like it is an awakening, and it's happening in all nooks and crannies all over the world right now.
Everywhere, right? I mean, in the government of Oregon, and Maine and other states are helping it happen. By now they're literally telling people that they've got to shut down their gardens. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Look that one up. That is incredible, because it could be looked upon as a war. We are at war on multiple levels. And the first casualty of war is the truth, which is we've been lied to for a long time. And just a little backstory on the lies, right? Everybody's heard of the book, or most people have, 1984, mm-hmm. Orwell, which came out in 1948. And that book was full of truths, but there was one fundamental deception in that book. And Orwell was a deep stater. He knew what was going on. J.P. Morgan and his crew of the families that we know, Rothschilds, Rockefellers, and these families, they commissioned a study on the most influential radio shows and newspapers in the United States. And they've done this all over the world. But this was over 100 years ago. They commissioned this study. And then what did they do? They bought them all to control the narrative. So 1984 was actually happening a generation before the book came out, right? So the second tool of war, or the second casualty, is the food supply chain, because the wicked have known for a long time that when they can create scarcity in a system, then they can create fear. And fear is the ultimate metaphysical control mechanism of evil, of the warmonger. So that's what's going on. Control people, control food. And now it's very easy to take that power back.
I got to tell you something that's been very liberating. And, you know, in social media, if we threw it all away, it would probably be healthier for us. But at the same time, you know, I was like, I was on TikTok because we have a channel there, and checking our own posts and stuff out. And there was this stuff, this guy came on, he was talking about regrowing everything. And I'm just like, he had this quick little clip where he was regrowing everything and out of, you know, scraps. And I was like, I'm going to start doing that. So like this morning, I can't tell you how empowering it was when I'm making my big green juice, right? And then here's, I made 3 quarts. And Jim knows I drink a lot of green juice. That's like, I have 2 a day, never miss, never miss. I haven't missed in like, it's like 13 years. I don't miss. I flood my body with nutrients twice a day. So I'm making this celery and I cut off the ends. And what I do with the ends, I put them in bowls and water, a couple drops of my ionic ocean minerals. And in a couple weeks, I'm going to plant them in a pot. I'm going to get them going. And every time I cut celery now, I'm growing them. Every time I, you know, eat some strawberries, I'm going to take a strawberry and cut it in half and put it on top of the soil, sprinkle a little soil on it, give it some water, and get another strawberry plant going. There's this, like you said, there's this trillions of the infinite. That's like the infinite, right? You can take a lemon seed and get it going and then grow a tree and it can produce 120 lemons. You know, it's just why when you have that, you feel powerful. It's like, okay, I'm going to have my own, this is eventually my own celery system going, and I will be celery self-sufficient.
Yep. Right? You can count the seeds in a lemon, but you can't count the lemons in a seed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're right. It's very empowering. Very, very empowering.
It is. And it's so easy. Like, I'm here. We live 100% off-grid in Central Florida at a place called Galt's Landing, G-A-L-T-S, landing.farm. And we have right around me about 240 different species of edible and medicinal plants and functional plants. So I walked outside this morning, and I just did a walking breakfast through the food forest. Bananas and mulberries, and there's melons all over the place, and papayas and avocado. I mean, there's so much happening right now around here. And this is a baby food forest. 2 years ago, there was nothing here but sand. 2 years later, there's enough food, not only to provide our family everything we need to thrive, like radical amounts of food. And we got bees and chickens and turkeys and ducks and cows and 7 species of fish, along with the 240 different species of plants. So when you stack all that together and the simplicity of it, it just demonstrates how everything we've learned about farming from Texas A&M and all these big universities, it's all part of the system and it's all wrong.
Yeah, agronomy. It's unfortunate because like in town, I go in there and it's like, outside of La Grande, this little town called Island City, it's kind of connected. And I think it's called Island City Grain Growers. And it said, you know, agronomy. It's like, if you look up agronomy, it's like, you know, basically the study and the practice of farming and taking care of soil and stuff like that. All it is a bunch of they just have container after container of chemicals. That's all it is. So it's not really, it's an illusion, right? And I was going to ask you, because I went to Galt's Landing. You kind of cut out a little bit. So it's G-A-L-T,
yeah,
Landing, Galt's.
A storm just came in. Like, boom.
Okay. So when I went there, it was about like a year after you had gotten started. Since I've been there, how much more has the forest grown up?
It's exponential.
Yeah.
I can't wait for you to come back.
I mean, we were getting papayas, and I mean, one of my favorite things was that there was a leaf. What was it? It was like a tangy leaf.
The longevity spinach?
I don't know what it was, dude, but it was so, I freaking loved it. We just walked around and picked leaves and ate them and picked fruits and vegetables, and that was pretty awesome.
It is. It is. And the good, there's so many layers of neat things happening. This mass adoption of taking the poisons out and growing food instead of lawns, if that's all we did, we would solve all of the world's biggest problems: deforestation, extinction, the sixth great extinction, right? Mass extinction, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, tyranny, hunger, all of it would be gone if we had these types of landscapes. And here's the kicker. It's good in every way. Like when people come here, we have 100% inspired rate. Nobody has ever left here and said, this place sucks. Like not one person out of over 1,000.
Yeah. Yeah. They love it.
And right. Then now all the BS starts coming in their minds, like belief systems, bad science and bullshit. They're like, wait a minute. You know, I can't do this where I'm at. I'm in Minnesota. I'm in Arizona. I'm in da-da-da. Yes, you can. You could do it everywhere. You might not have banana plants in Minnesota unless you do a fancy half underground greenhouse, which I don't necessarily suggest unless you've got extra resources. But there's thousands of species of edible plants that can be raised and grown in Minnesota. So we just design according to the climate, according to the agricultural zone, and according to the land and the desires of whoever it is that wants to turn their yard into paradise. And it can be done everywhere.
Yeah. Well, they can probably grow acorn trees, and they're probably already growing there. And I've seen people where they've talked about, like, they've said, hey, you haven't had a pancake until you've had an acorn pancake. There's nothing like them. Nothing like them. And you know, it's funny because here in town, the acorns are just going to fall off the trees and people are going to kick them. As kids, we used to throw them at stuff, hit them with bats and stuff like that. Or just batting around food and, you know, nobody, you know. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. In Christmas time, you know, chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Well, hey, people used to eat that shit. Nobody's doing it now.
Yeah.
Right? Well, some people are, and it's actually more and more people are now because people are waking up that, well, what if happens like me? I'm like, and let me give a big underlying theme to all this. Because energetically, anything you put your attention to, whether good or bad, you're going to make it manifest more, whether you want it to or not. So when we're talking about, and I've had to be very careful about this because I'm like, I'm building a sustainable food forest. To hell with I want to have my own electricity, be completely self-sufficient. But I realized, Jim, that I was doing it out of fear. I'm switching around now. I'm doing it out of excitement and joy. I'm doing it because it's fun. I want to be self-sufficient just because I want to be self-sufficient, not because I want to get away from the man. Because the more you want to get away from the man, you're actually giving the man power. Right? I'm just doing my thing. It's like I'm a sovereign person. I want to be like a wild creature. And wild creatures don't need anybody. It's the wild creature and Mother Earth. And they work with it like an ant and an aphid. And that's what we need to do. We need to get back to that.
Yeah, I am doing this. I'm living this way because it's paradise. I mean, literally walking outside and I can see butterflies and there's all these different flowers and colors and fruits coming in and stuff. This is the way in every logical sense, right? So, yeah, there's no reason not to do this except for ignorance or unawareness. And I'm ignorant in a million ways, right? It's just a matter of becoming aware and then evil and then the control mechanisms. Those are the only two reasons not to take the poisons out and to use our land wisely, to become the stewards again of our land. That's what we're here to do. And that's what the Earth Council, which we've assembled, is here to catalyze that shift, to put a lot of energy towards. In fact, we're taking Martin Luther King's advice. He said, those who love peace must learn to organize as well as those who love war. And that's exactly what we're doing. And it's really exciting to see this shift happen.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about this council. But before we do, I'm interested in what was, on a 1 to 10... your overall health, your happiness, your mental clarity, your flexibility in your body, your energetics. What was that like before you moved on the farm? And how do you feel today?
It's profound. The most important thing that I like to share with people, I've spent over 30 years in the study of consciousness, of awareness, of enlightenment, this concept of what is enlightenment. Right. We've been told through some of the religions around the world that enlightenment is for one person per religion, and it's impossible for everybody else. Well, there's layers of deception in that as well. What is a light mind? Enlightenmente, right? It's either a light mind, a lit up mind, or a mind free of programming. That's all it is. So for everybody listening, do you ever have a thought circle or a thought hurricane where you've got a repeating thought that's destructive and causes stress or anxiety or confusion or anger or pride or any of these things? Yes, everybody has those thoughts until you don't. So the most profound thing that has happened since being here is I do a lot of barefoot walking around the food forest. I do a lot of just sitting in the grass, or not really grass, but perennial peanut and sunshine mimosa. And I sit and I just listen and observe and watch. And everywhere around me, there's something going on. Yeah. And that has bringing me the most joy I've ever experienced.
Grounding's important. So again, before you came to Galt's Landing and built your sustainable food forest out there where you live now, where was your health 1 to 10? 1 poor, 10 excellent.
I would say my health was probably a 7.5 then, and now I feel like it's a 9.8.
Okay. And you just basically plugged back into that which you came from originally, the earth.
Exactly. Yeah, I plugged back into myself, nature, the land. I play tennis like a 20-year-old. I rejuvenate very quickly. We do also have a healing center here, so we have a hyperbaric chamber. We have some of the Bloomberg's Technology of the Year, these anti-aging beds with John Baxter, and we've got a lot of neat things going on. All
do you actually have, they left a bed there? You have one permanent now?
I have 6 of them.
Oh, wow. Awesome. That's great. Yeah. So what's your stress levels been like since you've reconnected with nature?
I don't feel stress anymore. And if I do, it's usually because my wife and I might not be seeing something eye to eye, which we normally do. But in general, I've let go of all stress because stress is a lack of faith. It's a lack of awareness on who we are and what's possible. And so every time I catch myself with a thought that is destructive or brings me into a state other than presence, right? Some people say, do you have patience? I don't really have patience, but I do have presence. I am here and I don't have any other thoughts in my mind most of the time. Most of the time, my mind is just, you could feel. In fact, Tesla said it from a more of a scientific perspective. If you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. But don't think. That's the one word that's off in that sentiment. Feel, experience the energy, frequency, and vibration. When we focus on and we settle into the experience and feeling it, that's the gateway to everything good.
I can't tell you and the listeners how important this is. When I coach people privately, one-on-one, or in group settings, I talk something about, because you know the world we live in today, Jim. It can be very stressful. It's the modern go-go-go world, and people are stressed out, and they're deficient in nutrients, and there's toxins everywhere, right? And there's toxic people, and so they're. A lot of people are just at their wit's end. So one of the things that I think is foundational is what you just talked about, the vibrations, the frequency, right? The energy. And how do we tap back into that? Well, one thing, if you just found out, is Jim goes outside in nature barefoot and sets in moleweed or something. Was it moleweed? Or are you setting in some grass?
Perennial peanut or, yes, sunshine mimosa.
Right. Plants. He sets in plants. Okay. That's going to work. Okay, there are organizations for years that are like over, I know there's organizations in China where when people have all these issues, they go to them. And what do? They take away all their cell phones, all their electronics, their shoes, and they send them out in the forest, and they just walk around in the forest all day long, and these people just heal right up. It's unbelievable. But one thing that you can do is you're like, Tim, I can't do it. I live in a condo in downtown wherever. Okay, what you can do, though, is you can, when you wake up in the morning and before you go to bed, you can block out some time for yourself. I call it sacred time. And this is the time where I help people get a list of things they can do for themselves. And one of them is sitting peacefully. You can meditate where you're, listening to God, basically. You can pray where you're talking to God. You can read books. You can take a far infrared sauna. You could rinse off and take a quick shower. You can do stretching. You could do yoga. You could play an instrument. You could do something to improve yourself. You could do something relaxing. Listen to some relaxing music. Sit by a campfire outside. Whatever it is. Like, you have these things you go to before you go to bed to kind of tap more into that vibrational frequency and calm your nervous system so you can sleep. And in the morning, you get the blue light, you open the lights up, and blah, blah, blah. And then you start waking up, you get the, you know, and then it's like you walk, you start to move the body, you drink some water, maybe you take a sauna, you exercise, whatever it is, and you have this, then that's where the meditation, the prayer can happen again. And it's those sacred times, at least in this crazy world that we live in today, at least honor and guard these two times and start there. Even if it's only 15 minutes, we recommend that you do an hour a day, morning and night. What you're going to find out is that you're going to start sleeping better. You're going to have more energy when you wake up, and you're going to start looking forward to these sacred times, and you will find a way to work your way up to that hour. But start with at least 15 minutes. And you can say stuff to yourself before you go to bed. I am who I am. And I am who I am, and that is enough. Just a simple statement like that. I am who I am, and that is enough. And stuff like that. So anyway, I just want to bring that up for people because it is so important that you demonstrate to the universe, to God, that you love yourself, and you start doing this, and you tap into these vibrational frequencies. And a lot of times we have to, we got to bring it down. We got to bring it down so we're not burning out.
And one of the best ways to do that is, everybody's heard of intermittent fasting, right? Well, what about intermittent fasting?
Tech fast.
Tech fast, yes. Every day, and I'm learning this myself. I get up, and typically I would get up and go to the phone and see what the new messages are. Now I get up the phone, or I get up and I walk outside, or I do something with my... usually outside, because nobody else is up when I'm up. And same thing before bed. Make sure you turn off all the screens, because they've done a lot of studies on how much it messes with your head, especially if you're blue blockers. So wear blue blockers and turn off all the screens at least an hour before bed, and it will change your sleep patterns.
You know, something else I did besides that, and we teach that, I just turned my ringer off on my phone. I did this years ago. Dude, my stress dropped so much. Just because it was like, bzz, bzz, bop, bop, beep, beep, bop, bop, bzz, 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 bzz. And it's like, it's a distraction. And this was a while back, 2006. I was in a coaching company when I was in mortgage. I paid these guys like a couple grand a month, and it was totally worth every penny, right? And they taught us a class on interruptions. They said that there was a study done on this, and then they implemented it in all their real estate and mortgage businesses, and their whole staff, and they exploded their business and reduced their stress. And so what it was is, a deep study on interruptions, Jim. And so what they found out is that out of an 8-hour workday, because of – this is before the internet, okay? This is before social media and ding, ding, bzz, bzz, all that stuff, that the average worker that worked an 8-hour workday was only getting 2.5 hours of quality work done during 8 hours. Why? Because number one reason, interruptions. Interruptions, being interrupted, the phone ringing, somebody knocking on, hey, Jim, what you doing? Oh, because if you're in a thought process and you're working on a project or something, and then somebody comes in, hey, Jim, what's going on? And you're like, oh, hey, Tim, da 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 da. It takes you 15 minutes after I'm done talking to you before your brain can get back into the exact same path and right back to where you were, literally. And this was like measured, right? And so I did this with my processor. Now, a processor worked for me, and then I had other loan officers. So she was processing all the paperwork and interfacing with the different banks, okay, to get the loans done. And so I said, we're implementing this. You can no longer talk to Sherry. The only times you can talk to her is this time in the morning and this time in the afternoon. Otherwise, do not call her. Do not talk to her. Do not knock on her door. And we put a sign up. And guess what? Her productivity went through the roof. Her stress went down. We started getting more stuff done. I saw it right before my eyes happened. So what Jim just said, something we also teach, is this tech fasting is powerful. It's also the hour before bed and the hour when you wake up in the morning, do not pick up any of these devices. You want to look at them as like toxic. But then as soon as it's time to pick them up, you know, do it, use them, you know, use them, do your thing, and then put them away. Do not spend any time on them. Okay. But yeah, man.
And turn on all notifications. When you want to look at it, you look at it. And unless I'm expecting a call, I have all my notifications off.
Nice. All right. We get bullshit on this all day. Let's talk about the council. What do you got going on in the Earth Council? What's that? How to get started? Who's in it? What's going on?
So I've been obsessed, which then kind of transitioned or elevated to a joyful obsession and then a loving obsession. And those tweaks are really important, as you inferred earlier. So for the first 15 years since I learned what was going on, I was obsessed with the question, how do we overcome this insanity, right? And through that obsession, I asked a lot of different questions. And then over the last couple of years, it's really refined. And, you know, in that Napoleon Hill book, Think and Grow Rich, after Napoleon Hill studied the most successful entrepreneurs and manifestors in history, he deducted whatever the mind can conceive and believe it can achieve, right? Sun Tzu, in his famous book, Art of War, the most cited military strategist in the history of the world, he said, know thyself, know thy enemy, 1,000 battles, 1,000 victories. Right? Bill Mollison said, though the problems of our world are increasingly complex, the solutions remain embarrassingly simple. And all of these point to what Victor Hugo referred to as the idea whose time has come stronger than all of the armies of the world. Right. And I started playing with all these concepts and I asked the question, how do we win the war? Well, it's actually in simple terms. And I like to reverse engineer, right? The vision, the ultimate vision that I can imagine is the Garden of Eden everywhere, a place of infinite abundance everywhere, because that's how it should be.
Yeah.
And that's logical, right? And we've been taught that that's some type of utopic fantasy and delusional and all that bullshit. No, it's not. Come visit me. It's right here. So I realized that the first key, the key to change, is awareness, because choice cannot happen without awareness of choice. I happen to have a master's in neurolinguistics, and that was one of the first things that I learned, is everybody does the best they can based on what they're aware of, right? So I'm like, boom, okay, awareness is key. Then the next logical question is, how do we create awareness at scale? Well, how does anything happen at scale to achieve mass adoption? How did we get mass adoption of these? And this happens to have an apple with a bite out of it, and they want to put it in your hand or your forehead, and they want to control all of your actions and your thoughts by putting this chip in your body, which they actually did through the vaccine. But anyway, that's another story. So let's come back to influencers. When the influencers align, and that's why J.P. Morgan, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers have controlled the media, because they're influencers. They have influenced us through deception. Well, now let's turn the problem into the solution. Let's assemble and follow Martin Luther King's advice, you know, and let's organize for peace and abundance. So number one is awareness. Number two is the influencers with a strategy. And then the council, this is where the council comes in. We have on our council all of the solutions to the world's biggest problems. And I'm going to get into it here because this is so relevant. And Tim, this is the first time that I've laid this out. So thank you for having me on your show to lay this out. And I'm excited to share this with folks.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah.
So I'll start with Pat Miletich, right? Pat Miletich has become a dear friend of mine, a good friend of yours. He was the toughest man in the world, 5-time defending world UFC champion. He then, now that's one level of greatness. He then became a coach, a superhuman coach, and he coached a dozen other world champions, right? It's one thing to be one yourself. It's a whole nother thing to be a coach. But here's the part that is the best for me when I look at all this stuff. He was also one of the first UFC fighters and one of the first athletes in general here in the United States to actually speak against the tyranny and the narrative. And now Pat has become a soil savior. So when you look at this history, and now he has witnessed the deception and the war, and now he's a soil savior. He has brought in Dr. Will Spencer. Doc Will has created a system using biodynamics, and I call it a fertility juice, right? He has a better name for it. It's Environautics, Environautics.com. But he has a system to create what is essentially a really potent compost tea with over 1,000 different living microorganisms. This stuff, when you apply it to land that has been poisoned with heavy metals and toxins, this fertility juice made of living organisms actually eats the heavy metals and the poisons and poops out fatty acids that are now bioavailable. The importance of this cannot be overstated. This product then can literally heal the destroyed soil around the world, right? So those are two of the council members. And then we bring in Kevin Fretz. Kevin and I have been talking for a long time. In fact, he just invited me for the second time on the Mike Adams Show. And we were on the show having a great time talking about how we integrate these solutions. So Kevin has a system of farms that of soil building places where they use municipal waste. And historically, they have not used waste that had been sprayed with poisons. But now we can add Doc Will's fertility juice to Kevin's places. In fact, I think he's got like 8 of these just in Florida alone and a bunch in Texas and other places. So when we then create soil building systems around the United States and around the world, right? He typically has about 2 to 5 acres of land, and they have a process to take this, what is considered waste, and turn it into soil, right? So now we just scaled Doc Will and Pat's abilities to get to market at scale, right? Then we have John Baxter. John won Bloomberg's Healer of the Year. He has the Healing Technology of the Year Award, and healing, just like the soil, it's very important for us to heal. And he heals, his systems heal the physical body. So we're bringing these systems into our Freedom Farm Academies so people can come here and walk the land and eat nutritious, healthy medicine and food. And then they can experience the hyperbaric chamber or the anti-aging beds or these different healing modalities. A lot of which, Tim, are your products as well. Incredible products for healing. So we're bringing it all together. And Theo Fleury. Theo was a hockey legend. He was a Stanley Cup champion, Olympic gold medalist. He also suffered some really significant trauma as a young athlete. And he now is one of the world's leading speakers on trauma. In fact, I'm not sure if I could tell that story, but Wayne Gretzky and another fellow were just talking with a presidential candidate about Theo. And now we might be invited to that candidate's home here soon. And again, I want to step back and let everybody know, I am not an advocate of governmente. All of the houses we build here at Gulf Landing, we did not ask for permission. We do not comply with government. We are demonstrating to the government a better way. And we're inviting the government to participate with us, but we're not participating with them. So Theo is our trauma expert. And then Tag, Rowdy Meyer, he was a finance guy. He's our treasurer. He had 900 employees and a company asked him or demanded of him that he get all of them shot up.
Right.
In 2001.
Jabbed.
Jabbed. And he publicly said no in the most awesome way. He has also done like 13 deals over $300 million. He's doing a multi-billion dollar deal now. He's our treasurer. It's incredible. Lisa Mollison. Now, Bill Mollison was the founder of Permaculture, along with David Holmgren. And Bill Mollison passed away. Lisa and Bill have been together for a long, long time. I don't know the exact years, but she grew up, or she was in this process of permaculture, learning and practicing the ethics and developing the whole system. She is one of our council members, and she is the steward of the Permaculture Institute's vast array of knowledge. And Joel Salatin. Joel Salatin is known as America's greatest farmer, the lunatic farmer. He has, and he, a lot of these folks have TED Talks, by the way. Theo Fleury, Joel Salatin. Watch Joel's talk on raising cattle. Everything we know about the narrative is that is coming through us through CNN and Fox and all this insanity is a lie. Joel has proven that he can raise cattle that is way more nutrient dense while building soil. And here's the kicker. The soil is a carbon sink. So even though the carbon narrative is a lie, his system would still, if it were true, his way of raising cows and chickens and
pigs, It sequesters more carbon,
right?
Yeah. Well, that whole thing is literally absolutely ludicrous, because every human being and every creature walking this earth is a carbon-based being.
Yeah.
Okay, number one. And number two, like, it gets stored in plant matter. Right,
it's the building block of life. It's carbon. It's us.
Yeah. So the whole thing with the CO2 emissions being bad, like CO2 feeds plant matter to sequester more carbon. So to say CO2 is bad, it's like saying 2 + 5 = 12. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, it is. It's 2 + 5 = 12. No, it's 7. No, it's 12. It's 12. Can't you see? It's like. And they just say it loud enough and long enough and with the narrative, with all the institutions, like you said, 24/7. And then after a while, people are like, God, I think 2 + 5 = 12.
And there was 10x more carbon in our atmosphere thousands of years ago when there was more life on Earth. 10x. The whole thing's a lie. So Marjorie Wildcraft and McKinley Hilady and Charles Thompson, all of these folks have come together. And then here's the next layer. So awareness. And the council engages the influencers. So we are creating a plan, and it's really all been created, but I'm getting it really dialed in, and a platform, a community that will literally supplant the governmente around the world. And it'll be called the Earth Council of Empowerment. Empowermente, right? Empower the mind. And
yeah.
The mind. And yeah. Through this council, all of the products and services and wisdom of humanity will be presented in a way that's accessible, inspiring, empowering, actionable, and a no-frickin'-brainer. And here's the kicker. We're going to do one of those clocks. You know, the debt clock that shows like 30-some trillion dollars?
Right.
Well, we're going to do one, the life clock or something. We don't have a name for it yet. But every penny that comes in through logical, voluntary means, then it's very transparent, and we use our resources, our yield, in the way that government is supposed to use their yield. We're going to put regenerative systems, and we're going to start in the most logical places, schools, prisons, and ghettos. We're going to start by putting food forests in all of these systems, because when we heal the kids, and we heal the prisoners, and we heal the ghettos, everything lifts up exponentially.
Well, I'm very excited, because what you're talking about here, Jim, is infrastructure.
Infrastructure.
And we already have we already have the most prime example that's been stolen from the history books. You can still scrape around and find a little bit of it. And it was basically this. I've talked about this before, but it bears repeating. The second 1776 of the United States. So this was the working class bottoms up movements from these working class women, the labor movements of the mid late 1800s to early 1900s. Because what had happened was, you know, after we had gotten our freedom, 1776, there's about 13 more years of fighting, basically, and to get it to lock and get America set up, because the Blue Bloods, the England, they didn't want to go easily, you know. So we did that, but there was these people left behind, and they got into politics and government and big business. And by the turn of the century, we were this industrial revolution, and we had slave wages. So it was just a new version of slavery. Yeah, you had your own job and everything, but you know, you had to pay $5 a month to pay back for your own sewing machine that you had purchased to use to do your work. And you know, there was things like the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory that burned up, and you know, hundreds of women were killed, young girls 16 years old jumping out of the windows and dying like 9/11. Because they locked the damn doors because they were afraid that the women were going to steal something from them, right? Well, why would you – what kind of environment was created that you think people would steal from you? Well, one of, like, they don't give you hardly anything. So these pissed off women finally said, hey, enough is enough, and they started these robust working class movements, and they did it themselves, right? It was their – it was and it worked. So what ended up happening was – is that there was urine and feces in the streets, there was dead cows and horses in the water supply, and disease was rampant. Disease was infectious diseases was people were dying. Bad measles. One out of it was 14 out of 100,000 people were dying of the measles. Okay, that's a very high number. By the mid 40s, 98% of all infectious diseases were gone. The measles is like poof, gone. Why? It was because of the infrastructure that those women and the men fought for. They got the sanitation worker and the plumber, cleaned up the urine and the feces, got clean water, infrastructure, built healthier bodies, healthier lives. Now, Big Pharma and all that stuff didn't hit until the mid-60s. The measles vaccine, I think, was 1963 or something. So was it a synthetic chemical that saved these people? No. It was them taking action and doing it the right way, in a regenerative way themselves. That's basically what it was.
Yep.
And so we already know this. We already know it works. We already know it works. People have got to get off their asses and participate, because this is this three-dimensional world is a physical reality. So in order to manifest what you want in physical reality, you actually have to take action, because this is an actionable world. You know, there's a great saying, a Chinese proverb that says, man set on side of hill with mouth wide open long time before roast duck fly in, right? Good luck. Like, yeah. If you want a roast duck, you're going to have to go find the duck, kill it, clean it, cook it, season it, and then you can eat it. Or pay somebody else with your money that you had to go earn doing something. You got to get off your butt and do something. And what we're trying to incentivize people to do is make it really simple and easy to get off your butts, and give you something very simple and actionable that you can do, so you can actually take action and participate and start feeling good about yourself again.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so keep going. So you got the World Council, you got a bunch of good people involved.
Another thing about these folks, like Pat, they all stood up and said no to the way things are happening publicly, right? So they're also full of courage and wisdom and solutions. And so we're all together, and we're very focused on a mission. We are one call away from, I met with Bobby Kennedy. We'll be meeting soon with Donald Trump, it sounds like. Again, I'm not counting on these people, but I'm aware of the structure, the infrastructure. We don't have to create a whole new system of taxation. In fact, we're going to abolish that system by creating a new system that makes that just stupid, obsolete, and insane. And I'll give you one example. The Florida state budget right now is about over $100 billion. It was 92 in 2001, and I was told it's over 100 now. 5% of that budget over 4 years is $20 billion. That equates to 20,000 $1 million food forest installations in the state of Florida in 4 years. That's every school. That's every city park. That's every prison. That's every church. That's every old folks home. That radically changes the state of Florida. $1 million food forest can feed, it can feed the world over time, quite frankly, because every plant is, every food forest is a nursery that provides exponentially.
There was a statement I saw when I was a stockbroker in the financial services, and I read an article, and it said, Apple orchards will always outperform Apple stock. And Apple stock has done very well for a lot of people, but they did the math on it, and every time an orchard, you plant it. I'll give you an example. My brother, my little brother Troy, before he passed away, he was a farmer, and they had bought like, I can't remember. We bought quite a few acres out there. Well, they planted, I think, 11 acres in filberts, okay, hazelnuts. And they didn't produce much in the first few years. And all of a sudden, they started producing a little bit of nuts. Well, he died, but guess what? He's already, my sister-in-law, his wife, three little kids, that is a great income source for them now. And guess what? Every year it makes more money and more money and more money as these trees mature and mature and get bigger. They just keep producing more nuts and more nuts and more nuts. And so, yeah, if you want to invest in something, because people are like, when you know, things get really bad, quote unquote, what are people going to, where are you going to be? Like, what's really important? Well, number one, you want to have some shelter. Okay. Number two, you're probably going to want some water. Probably going to want some water. Number three, you're going to want some food. You're going to want something to eat. Number four, and including in the shelter would be, you know, heating and cooling and all that stuff. Like, so your energy. Number four, you probably want some communication. You want to be able to communicate with other people. Number five, you want to feel safe. You want to feel protected. You want some protection, something that protects you. You know, just like back in the day, if, you know, somebody went into a cave to live in there, they could, you know, protect themselves from a saber-toothed tiger. They could have some sticks and poke at them as they tried to come in the cave, right? So that was their protection, the fire and the sticks. So you'd want to have something like that. These are the things that are really important, you know, and this is the one thing that I've thought about this a million times, and it's like, if stuff really got really, you know, to a point where we're really bad, I guess, how are you going to eat gold? You know, because people...
The fiat currency is failing. The dollar is in rapid decay. It's shit. And what do we do with shit? We compost it.
So yeah. And then grow a tree and get some nuts and then eat them.
Is to turn the fiat into life. Every single fruit tree that I have out here has more than doubled in value in the last 2 years.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. How do you get that on a consistent basis? Like, that, this is it. Take our fiat and turn it into life again.
What Jim and I are doing right now, this little discussion, is creating awareness, right? That's what it is. It's an awareness. It's like, if you are concerned about this stuff, like, you know, do what I did. Just, like, start chopping your celery stalks off and regrowing them. Regrow every scrap of food. Get your freaking butternut squash seeds and save them or start planting them. Get them. Spring's coming. It's like, here we are now. It's like, start growing this stuff. Even if you're like, well, I don't know what I'm doing. Well, you can literally go to TikTok and say, how do I grow celery? How do I grow a strawberry? And then boom, there's somebody going, bah, 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 in a very succinct video. Do this, wrap it up in paper, put it, do this, take this. Oh, you want to grow a mango? Crack this open with a knife, then put the butter knife in there, crack it open. Inside's a little baby mango seed, and then you put it in water, and then you put the curved end down, and you know, and they tell you exactly what to do. Now, you might not be able to grow a mango in Arizona, but if you're where Jim is, you could. Right? Yeah. So you have to pick your plants accordingly, but a blueberry, you can take one seed of a blueberry would make a bush, and it can make one bush can make, you know, like 5 pounds of blueberries.
Yeah.
And one bush.
5 million more bushes.
Yeah. And one of the funny things, when I had a farm over in Damascus, Oregon, is we had chickens, and it was hilarious, dude. The chickens in my lab love to eat blueberries, and you see the chickens go over and picking the berries off the bottom. So we had to get out there when the berries were ripe and pick them quick because the chickens are going to get them, right? But I loved watching them eat them.
Yeah, and then you eat chickens or eggs or whatever.
Yeah, and they gave us eggs, so we had blueberries in our eggs.
Yeah, I love it. Those are good eggs. Nutrient-filled, dense eggs. I love it.
All right. So what's the plan? So with your council here, what lay it out.
To inspire and empower a shift in awareness that leads to mass adoption of using our resources wisely, to lay out the strategy and the tactics. For instance, Pat is very big into, he's a very thoughtful man with strategy, and there's a word for it that's escaping me, but basically thinking like the evil bastards that are doing all this harm, and then turning the dial, twisting the narrative and doing good with it, turning the problem into the solution. So we're going to be going after the corporations that are currently poisoning our world, and we're going to be strategically inviting them with the help of all these major influencers. And I'll just throw out one idea, right? I believe Home Depot still sells Roundup.
Yeah.
Well, Home Depot, we've got a better product for you, and we will be happy to provide you this product. And your margins will be the same or better, we're pretty sure. And you will be investing in life in our world and not killing our world. So Home Depot, if you want to talk, then let's talk and let's get this done at scale, right? You got to stop killing people. Instead, we're going to give you a better option on every logical level. Now imagine when Joe Rogan, Tucker Carlson, all of our Earth Council, a couple of presidential candidates, imagine when they say that to Home Depot. Do you think Home Depot is going to make changes?
Well, you hope they do, because if they don't, then they're going to get a lot of bad press.
They're going to go bye-bye. They're either going to make changes or go bye-bye. As awareness increases, people will then say, I'm for life and not death.
Yeah, they can vote with their dollars. It's very easy not to go to these places. I don't shop at Walmart. The only time I have over the last 2 years, because my mom and dad have their before my mom passed, but they had their pharmaceutical prescriptions, so I had to go pick up their prescriptions in there. And I got to tell you, man, it's like living over here in Eastern Oregon, like looking at the quality of people's health, it's like there's a lot of people I think are doing meth or fentanyl. They just look, they're definitely drugged out, okay? Then I see a whole bunch of other people that are just severely low energy, overweight, but they've got, and no offense to anybody, but it's just like, my God, it's like, do you really need a bunch of rings all, you know, it's like, and I know, you know, indigenous people put a lot of rings and stuff in their ears and stuff like that, but it's like, I guess it doesn't matter, but they're dyeing their hair blue and pink and red and all this other stuff. And it's like, what are you running from? Are you so bored that you're like, I couldn't even imagine like taking the time to dye my hair. I mean, I did it quite a few years ago because I had all these women coming to my health classes, and I was telling them, look, the dyes you're putting in your hair are literally killing you. Like, literally, these are cancer-causing agents. And the woman came up to me afterwards, I'll never forget, she said, Tim, she goes, don't give us a problem without a solution, because I'm dyeing my freaking hair. I am not going to have gray roots, okay? And I was like, whoa. Like, she really didn't care. She would rather give herself the possibility of cancer than to have a gray root showing. So I went out and I looked and I started dyeing my hair, because I had some grays, with natural type stuff. And I found a few companies. And after about a year, I had done all my experimenting, and I came back. I started telling these women, this was back a while back. So it was like, you can use a company called Owe. You can use a company called Meste. And there's one called Hairprint that brings back your original color. And I gave them three options. Right, so I did the homework for these freaking women, because I didn't want to bring them a problem without a solution. Because that's the thing, you can't just drop, most people, you drop a big problem on them, they're not going to make any changes. Maybe 1% of people are like, okay, I'm going to do it. And that's what we need. We need these leaders to stand up, these influencers, and be like, okay, here's the problem. You guys are probably aware of it, but you didn't know how bad it was. Well, let me show you. And then like, here's the solution. Let's go. And it's like, that's the first person on the dance floor. And then everybody else is like, oh, okay, well, he's out there dancing. She's dancing. Like, okay, let's go. And then four or five people run out there and do it. And then 20 people come in. And then all of a sudden, 200 people come in. Everybody's dancing because the fear. Because of the human condition is like, we are masters of limitation. We are literally masters of limitation. And if I always caution people, like, look, if you're doing anything in your life out of fear, stop. Stop and create some space in between that fear thought, that feeling, and like, why? Why are you operating out of fear? Because if you are, you were probably manipulated by somebody, where it was a radio show, a television show, a newspaper ad, a friend, a spouse, a parent, because they were manipulated too. If you're operating anything out of fear, I mean, the only thing that you should maybe operate out of fear is if you're being chased by a mountain lion, okay? Then maybe you should operate out of fear. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, no, but fear. Somebody asked me the other day, Jay, don't you fear anything? I go, I do not. And he goes, what about a rattlesnake? I don't fear a rattlesnake. I'm aware to not pet the thing.
Yeah.
I'm aware to not grab it without knowing exactly how and what I'm doing. That's not fear. That's awareness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you guys are feeling fear for anything in your life, stop and ask yourself, why? Where did this fear? Well, who taught me this? Why do I have this belief system around this fear? And see what it does, because it really is hijacking your prefrontal cortex. You're not able to actually make rational decisions, and you're going to go along with the masses. You're going to go along with what everybody else is doing. And I'm telling you, everything in my life is the success I've had is whatever everybody else is doing. I go 180 degrees in the opposite direction, and 98% of the time it's success.
Yeah. And one more story that I'd like to share just happened, and it's relevant. So we built all these houses. Did I share the story about the permit guy from the county coming here about a month
ago? No, no. Yeah, this is good stuff.
Okay.
This helps eliminate fear in people's.
It does. So and so I practice presence. I practice simply being present and being able to observe and hear and listen to the word of the divine, right? So I grew up in Minnesota, so I call it God. Right. If you call it Allah, Shiva, Krishna, Buddha, whatever, that's fine. I'm not going to hate you for God. But anyway, I practice presence, and I'm walking with my daughter in the food forest, and I get a call from my friend here. He goes, Jim, there's a guy with a badge on at your house, and he's asking about permits. And I immediately, my heart started pounding, and I had that tinge of fear, and I went, and then it was gone. And then I started walking. It was about a minute walk to where the guy was. I turned on my little tree of apple of, what is that called? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. I turned this little bugger on, and I walked up to the guy, and I introduced myself, and he introduced himself. And I said, I just want you to know I'm recording this conversation so we know what was said and everything is clear here. And the first thing I said after that is, we'll give you permission to come on our property because it's posted. We do not, implied consent is not legit and it's not granted. And it says that out there. And he said, well, nobody did. And he said, if you want me to leave, I will. And the camera's still going, that it was being recorded. And I could tell the guy didn't mean to be a dick. Like he was just like, man, listen, I'm just here. I was just going to ask about permits and talk to you about this. I said, okay, well, we're not asking for your permission to do what's good for our planet, ourselves, our community, and our world. Because what you'll allow me to do and what you'll even subsidize at the government level is the spraying of Roundup and glyphosate and poisons. You'll subsidize the death of our world. You'll allow these developments all around here that are killing everything. They're turning ecosystems into dead zones. I said, that's what you'll allow. And we are not going to comply with that. Instead, we will invite you to do it right. And then I said, come and check out our food forest. He left 15 to 20 minutes later. He had tears in his eyes and he was 100% with us.
Did he eat some food?
He said, yeah, well, I fed him. We're not going to bother you. He said, I'm not the big dog. I can make all the shots, but I am 100% in your corner. He then texted me several times after that saying, how can I help?
This is the perfect example of a lesson I was taught where, you know, there's some quote unquote people out there that are doing bad things and you know it. You have to understand that these people have 100% the right and the choice as their physical reality experience to choose whatever they want. That's number one. And you have to be okay with that. Understand that, because without allowing them to do that, you're basically saying that free choice is a BS deal. We have the freedom of choice. what Jim did, what was different, he took somebody and he basically just showed him what he was doing. And by his following his excitement, his joy, and his passion, and showing how he wanted to be a steward of the planet that we live on, it really influenced this guy big time. Now you have somebody over there on your side, basically.
That's right. And this can be done everywhere. And I believe in the sentiment, faith and courage is the armor of God. There's something so empowering about the frequency, the energy, the vibration of faith and courage, and the knowing that we're more than this. This is a temporary experience, right? Jim Gale is just a character in a play. Jim Gale's like a distant memory to me. It's the settling in the connection again, and then declaring that I am free, and acting and demonstrating stewardship and service. The most selfish thing I can ever do is love and serve my community, because humans are reciprocal in our very nature. When we are served, we want to give thanks for that service.
Yeah.
And so that's the best thing, the most selfish thing we can do is create abundance and then use that abundance to serve, and then incredible things come.
That is so awesome. Well, Jim, thank you so much for investing your time to come on the show again and share your life and share what you're doing over there at Galt's Landing and with Food Forest Abundance. So where do people find you if they want to check out more of what you're doing and follow you in the Earth Council?
I love it. If you'd like to come visit, our website is galtslanding.farm, galtslanding.farm. And if you want to start with a design and create your own Garden of Eden in your backyard or front yard, then it's foodforestabundance.com. And we have a strategy session where you can chat with one of our professional permaculture designers for 30 minutes. It costs nothing. And that designer's goal is to inspire and empower you to grow food. Whether you then choose to hire a designer or do it yourself, we just want to get you growing food, because I've got four daughters and that's what matters most, is mass adoption of self-reliance.
That's awesome. All right, guys. So check them out at foodforestabundance.com. If you want to go visit Galt's Landing, maybe even have a stay there, eat some of these fresh foods that are growing right out of the soil, walk around barefoot, heal yourself up a little bit with some of their therapies. That's galtslanding.farm. I'll put both of these things in the show notes. And Jim, once again, thank you for coming on the show. And I want to thank the listeners for tuning in. And hopefully we gave you some good stuff that you can resonate with and get excited about. And even if you can't make it to Galt's Landing or out here to my farm in Eastern Oregon, you can start your own farm. Get inspired. Like, be the change that you want to see, right? You change yourself, you change your world. Start growing your own food. Start sprouting in your home, on your countertop. You could live in a condo, and you can literally do this. Lentils, mung beans, fenugreek. These can all be grown and ready to eat in 2.5 days. Literally, you can put a 25-pound bag of lentils in your elevator, take it up to the high-rise, and start sprouting and putting living foods into your body. And we suggest you to do that, because you are a living being from a living planet, and you definitely need some living foods. Okay, until next time, change yourself, change your world. Love you guys, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.